You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
I'm just lost, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and he was talking to Mops and Joe. Well, for a little hell, I've been to St. John's Wall. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Big question is, Mr. Marco Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, you know, I got to tell you something, Marco. It's been another transpiring week, whatever that's supposed to mean. You know, you go from one end of the map to the other, and you see these weather patterns. And, you know, there were some places we had been over the last week, Marco. Is it supposed to still be winter, by the way?
Summer, winter, yeah, who can tell the difference?
You know, you can't, because it's getting crazy. You know, I'm serious as hell. And, you know, I don't know, they call it global warming, and they call it the Mayan calendar, the world coming to an end at in December of this year. I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, the groundhog says we're going to have another 6 weeks of winter. I don't think we really had winter except from the real cold places in the nation. What do you think, Marco?
Well, it's actually, there's some places it's been the coldest it's been in 50 years.
And guess what? It's been the hottest it's been in some of the coldest places in 50 years.
Yeah, I know.
It's just crazy as hell. And I've got to tell you, my gosh, we've been inundated with calls on the Bigfoot hotline. What do you think of that?
Well, we have a full broadcast tonight, that's for sure.
Big time. And the people out there in Bigfoot land don't really understand, I don't think. But, you know, hope you got your ears on around the globe. Marco installed a Bigfoot hotline, never knowing it was going to be as hot as it is. I mean, my gosh, we get calls 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon with some great stories and encounters that people are talking about. And I got to tell you, they've been wonderful. We have met some wonderful people. As a matter of fact, some of them are on tonight, which I love to death because I love to broaden our satori. I love to broaden our horizons, ladies and gentlemen. And when you meet some beautiful people like we have around this nation, and it just keeps on. It's like multiplying. It's like a snowball coming downhill. It becomes a giant avalanche before it hits the bottom. It's just totally amazing. And, you know, we had some great loyal supporters. One of them you're going to hear about tonight out there in Farmington, New Mexico. But he calls it something else. Well, without any further ado, let's get out there to our good friend Theron, as they call him, out there in the Choctaw Reservation. Had him on last week. My gosh, he called again today. There's action going on now as we speak. Theron, you out there?
I am. I'm sitting here in my living room.
Tell me the story. Tell my listeners out there around the globe what's been going on.
Well, I went to my mother's house a few days ago, and my mama says, your sister's seen that creature again. And this time, the creature was walking behind my mother's neighbor's house, and what appeared to be walking away with a deer over his shoulder. And that was pretty much exciting for me, you know. And I talked to a woman, was it yesterday morning, and she told me that a few years ago she was fishing at the river nearby here, and on the other side of the river they came to one side of the river, and there was some sounds coming through the other side of the river, and one guy thought it was the other guy that was with him. He said, he was wondering how in the world did he get on the other side so quick, you know. He didn't have a boat or anything, you know, but they all got together and they looked over to see what it was. The guy came over and says, what is it? You know, the guy that they thought that had was on the other side of the river, and they looked through the thicket there, and they saw this outline of a huge creature standing there, and it was watching them, and it turned around and walked off. So people are bringing their stories to me, and I'm getting famous down here for being a Bigfoot hunter, you know.
Well, you know, I'm really happy about that for you, Theron, number one. Our good friend, I call him the M&M brothers, Marcus and his brother up there in Four Corners, New Mexico, called today about exciting new encounters, and the newspapers came out today and says, there are a Bigfoot up in the Navajo Nation, and yada, 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 and the first ones to get up there and look for these creatures and record them was our competitor. So he called me right away after seeing this in the newspaper, and he says, my God, Tom, this is a total lie. We know the truth. He says, me and my brethren and family on the reservation knew who the first one was out here, and gosh, you've been out here since 2005. They've never been out here. And I tried to tell him, he'll be on later on tonight, But say, hey, I said, look, you can't control the internet. You cannot control what people say or what they do. But long as you know the truth, and your brethren and your family and all the people on the res know the truth, that's all you want. Forget about these losers. That's all they are. People who got to go out and create stories and misbeliefs to everyone. It just doesn't work. What do you think about that, Theron?
If they have, if they've never had the experience of seeing the creature or had some kind of other experience like I had in 1972, I mean, they'll always be skeptical, you know, and I know that these creatures do exist because of my own experience twice, and then my family has seen it in broad daylight, you know, and so and they've seen it at night times, and you know, and my dear old mother, 75 years old, last December saw one cutting across her lawn, and they watched it for a minute, and you know, it's undeniable, you know, I've never known my mother to tell stories, you know, so but it's, you know, when you know these things exist, well, it's hard to, at times, you know, to get people to believe in what you believe in, and it's okay by me. I don't care if they don't believe it. I know that they exist, and that's the only thing that counts.
Well, you know, that's a great answer, but it wasn't an answer to my question that I had posed to you. But let me pose the question to you in your frame of reference.
Okay.
Who was the Bigfoot group that came to the Choctaw, Mississippi Reservation upon your beckoning call?
That was the Bigfoot Incorporated with Tom Viscardi and his crew, and you were the folks that came over and investigated, and I understand that you're going to be here again in the spring to do some intense research here, so you know, we'll be looking out for you. So I'm glad that you came down here to look over things and talk to people. So your organization is doing a splendid job following this creature around, you know, and hopefully we'll have a live one soon here.
And you know what? I hope and pray myself, because, you know, that's the only way that we're going to be able to prove it to mainstream America, Theron. And I'll tell you something else, buddy. If it wasn't for people like you, there would be no us. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, okay?
All right. Well, I was camping out at the Rio Grande in, you know, by Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I just thought of it just a minute ago. I was standing by the water, and there was this like a rock that came above me and hit the water and splashed, and I always thought, what in the world was that? So I understand these things will throw rocks, you know, so I have that one experience there in New Mexico as well.
Well, that happens quite frequently in a lot of different situations around the globe. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us once again. Mute yourself out. We've got a whole lot more stories for you to listen to and everybody else around the globe. Thanks again.
Okay. All righty. Well, you folks have a good time on the radio. I've got to take off now.
All right. Be well.
Okay. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Theron there on the Choctaw, Mississippi Reservation. You know, I want to do a couple shouts out. One to a dear friend, fellow Bigfoot brethren, John L. Johnson. He's been going through a lot of stress lately, and he has some heart problems. Just got notified about that. Our prayers go out to him for a speedy recovery. And another good friend that we just talked to. And anytime you guys are around there through Las Vegas, and you turn on your radio, turn on, especially at 12 o'clock noon, 12 to 1, you get to hear my good buddy Fran Sullivan. He has a show called Las Vegas Front Row, Center Stage. He has some of the top acts, some of the top celebrities in the country on that show. And it's 1400 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, 1400 a.m. on the dial. Fran Sullivan, he's a good buddy of mine. Las Vegas Front Row, Center Stage. He has some of the best guests in the world. You ever get a chance of rolling through there around that time? Give them your ears. 1400 a.m., ladies and gentlemen. Well, without any further ado, we're going to go out there to Alabama, talk to this gal. She's her name is Teresa, and she had an encounter. We want to talk to her right now. Teresa, you out there?
I am. Good
How
evening.
Are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I'm doing real well, Teresa. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your story with about your encounter with this creature. How long ago did this all happen, Teresa?
It's been almost 3 years now.
Uh-huh. Okay. And was it in Alabama or somewhere else?
Yes, it was in Alabama. We were out checking on a brush fire that had come up the mountain. It had burned off about 80 acres. And we went down the nearest dirt road to be able to see the fire. And as we came across a wooden bridge stream, I just happened to look up in the direction we were going, and something came from the bushes on one side and jumped to the middle of the road and stood it and looked at our car. And we all did a kind of, what is that? And we kept driving. It took about 10 seconds to get 30 feet within where it was sitting. It had kind of, when it got to the middle of the road, it sat down kind of on its, like, haunches. And as we got within 30 feet of it, it again raised up, still looking at us, and in one swift move cleared the road to the other side. The strange thing was that we don't have any monkeys in Alabama. And it looked just like a monkey, only it stood about 4.5 to 5 feet tall. That was the oddity. And the mind just races to try to make sense of what you're seeing. We kept looking, and we kept saying, look, you can see its fingers. We could see its face. We could see its hair, the texture of the hair. But we saw no tail. And again, we thought, wow, that's really strange. It has no tail. And within a complete 30 seconds, the whole visual scene was over.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It was. It was amazing to me at how our minds searched trying to find the correct picture, the correct name of whatever it was. And at first we thought, we passed it off as, oh, we've had someone that's come from like South America or something and released their pet, or a zoo has lost one of their pets. But again, it's big. It's bigger than a monkey you would see at a zoo. It did not look like a chimpanzee or an ape, but it looked like a monkey without a tail. Very big.
Let me ask you this, Teresa. You got it. By the way, you got a great name. It's my sister's namesake, by the way.
It's quite common.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how common it is. I don't know many people named Teresa anymore. In today's times, they got all these crazy names. I can't even or pronounce them. But after you saw this creature, well, who was in the car with you?
I had my cousin and his wife, and his wife and I both saw it. But my cousin was busy looking down the stream and looking in the woods, and he didn't see a thing. So two out of the three in the car got a very good visual on it.
Well, two out of three ain't bad, to coin a phrase.
No, we feel good that we each saw it. And over the past 3 years, we occasionally go back to each other with, was that the color I saw? And did you see the tail? Did you see the fingers? Did you? And so we discuss it quite often because, again, it's still a mystery to us.
Let me ask you this, Teresa. Have you had a hard time putting closure to this?
Well, yes, because if you do mention it to someone, they laugh it off as you saw something else and that wasn't really what you saw. But the mind knows what it did see, and if you can at all grasp some sort of concept of what it could have been, that helps. And when you talk to people about it, it kind of relieves that mystery in the mind that, yes, I did see that.
Well, yeah, you know, I've gone through it all my years. You know, they'd say, oh, well, this guy's nuts, or he's seeing things, or he has no clue. Is he on drugs, or does he drink a lot? And contrary, people who know me, I'm not on drugs, never taken any drugs. And if I do drink, I'll maybe have one drink in 6 months, and I'd have to be at a hotel somewhere because I'm death on anybody drinking and driving, if you know what I'm talking about.
No.
Well, let me ask you this, Teresa. What happens now that you get home? Now, there was the wife and the other guy. Who'd you talk to, or did you talk to anyone?
Well, his wife, we were so awed over it that was our topic all day long. And her husband, my cousin, he doesn't doubt us. It's just that he didn't see it. And so he listens to our story. But it was, again, broad open daylight. Okay. It was very clear to see. And there was nothing to scare us because we were inside the car.
Okay.
It wasn't like it had come upon us walking or we had come upon it walking. So there was no fear factor for us.
Okay.
It was all amazement.
Teresa, I'm not talking about the fear factor. I'm talking about after you got to your destination, where were you going?
Oh, back to my cousin's home.
Okay, back to the home. You
mm-hmm.
got out of the car and got back to their home. What did you do? Did you get on the phone and call people and say, hey, guess what I just saw?
God, no. To me, I now kind of relate to how, and I know this is off the wall, but I now relate to those people who say, I've seen a flying object. Because I have always said, well, I have not seen it, so I cannot believe it. And it frustrates. You can see how that frustrates people when you come back with, well, I've never seen it, so I don't believe it. But that's what I have to compare with. And no, we didn't go out calling anyone or trying to talk to anyone because at that point in time, in our minds, we had seen an escaped monkey that was just very large. That's how we kind of put it. And then throughout the years now, we've kind of heard rumors that they don't have to come 8 foot big. They don't have to be 9 foot tall. That there are smaller juvenile types. And then we got to discussing the fact that, wow, maybe that's what we've seen. Because we've never seen a monkey without a tail, unless it was a chimpanzee. Chimpanzees are smaller. I've seen in the zoo. They're much smaller than what I call a monkey was.
Teresa, let me ask you this. When you reached the destination, which happens to be their home, how come you didn't get on the phone and call the police and say, hey, I think we just saw a monkey. It could have been somebody's pet, a zoo or a circus escaped. Why didn't you do that?
Yeah, that's odd, and it comes back down to telling people, and again, them thinking that we were crazy. That was basically the thought. We did speak about calling our game rangers and informing him, and then we just didn't. Again, it got back to, well, it was just an oddity, a fluke that we saw it. And I really don't know why. It's just it was just again the fear factor of the people that we did say something to didn't believe us, that we had seen something else.
I understand.
Not even a monkey, but we're quite sure it had a definite monkey face, monkey head, monkey fingers. The oddity with its knees being so close to its feet and the way it hunched, kind of sat down on them.
Well, you know,
no,
I got to tell you this, okay? I want to thank you for sharing your story with myself and my listeners around the globe.
Sure.
First of all, I want to tell you these few words. Welcome to the world of Sasquatch, my dear.
Yes.
And I hope that by you telling your story out on air to people all around the globe, that it's helped you a little bit. And it does my heart good to know that we had you on with us and maybe put a little closure to this, and knowing that there's been a lot more other sightings just beside, not just yours, but all over the globe. You know what I'm saying?
I was amazed when you said to me that there had been other sightings in Alabama. I was amazed.
Yeah, yeah.
That again brought it back to, wow, this is possible.
Yeah, I just had my guys down there just 2 weeks ago on a stakeout. There was something going on really big.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, listen, do me a favor. We got a whole lot more show, Teresa. Just mute yourself out. Listen to the rest of the stories that you're going to be hearing tonight, okay?
All righty.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Great gal, ladies and gentlemen. That's Teresa from Alabama sharing her stories with us. Marco, let's turn this back over to you and let's do a commercial and pay some bills.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom.
Is that a distress call, by the way?
I think that's Patrick's little kid.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to him in just a second here, Patrick. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the trailer to Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax. It was the seventh largest story in the world in 2008. If you haven't seen it, believe me, you need to get it because it'll answer all the questions you may have had in the back of your mind because how the whole thing was left. It was just left up in the air and nobody really knew the true story. And like it said, you're going to see never-seen-before footage, and it will totally blow your mind, number one. Number two, Bigfoot 3 has been released. It's out there on our website, the only place you can get it right now. Bigfoot 3 talks about the DuPont Monster. It talks about Holy Hill. It talks about the Beast of Bray Road. Well, we were some of the first people out there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to clear that air tonight when we get out there to New Mexico with the Marcus Brothers, the M&Ms. I want you to know this. You're going to get to see real footage, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't reenactments. This is the real deal. Bigfoot 3. We've already won awards for Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax. Best documentary, ladies and gentlemen. All three of them. And I'll tell you what, we're going to win for Bigfoot 3 also. And we've got something else coming out that's going to just blow the world's mind. Without any further ado, let's get out there to my good buddy Patrick out there in North Dakota. Man, had a
yep.
hell of an idea, had an encounter, and he wants to share it with myself and everybody around the globe. Patrick, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you this evening?
Oh, going. Doing all right. How about you guys?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel. You know what? Why don't you tell everybody, my listeners around the globe, if you would, Patrick, about what happened that evening when you guys were out camping and hunting, and what the elevation was and what you actually experienced.
Well, over the course of about 18 years worth of being in an area, my father and I hunted exclusively about a 300 square mile area. I can definitely tell you this is an animal that exists. I don't know exactly if it's quite what people are expecting out of it, but the first encounter I had was in a younger age, early 90s. Woke up in the middle of the night, heavy foot coming through the camp. My father slept in a sliding camper we had up there, and I was always in a tent. Well, when I heard it come through, I decided the next morning to put a stalk to it, and 10, 15 miles worth of work, and found the area where the animal was. Was able to observe it for an hour or two, and subsequently three other times over the next almost 15 years, been able to go into the same area and stalk basically the same thing. Now you're talking 9,000 foot elevation in Northern California, Sierra Nevada mountain range. But the animal's up there. I don't know. What do you want to know about it?
Well, let's tell my listeners out there, did you actually see the creature?
Oh, I've observed it for upwards about 3 hours at one time late in high school, 96-97 time frame.
You actually stayed and watched this thing for 3 hours. What was it doing for 3 hours, Patrick?
Eating.
He was eating?
Rummaging around.
He was eating what? Yep.
Rummaging around, eating. I have moved across a ridge line about 1,000 yards to follow through the valley, but very much so like a gorilla. It's an ape, basically. Herbivore, feeding off vegetables, you know, vegetation and whatnot in the area.
Did you know what kind of vegetation was available at that time of the year?
Well, up in that area, you had a lot of vinery, aspen leaves, that type of stuff, buckbrush. I see in particular manzanita. Most of the areas where it's at, very, very, very inaccessible. You're dealing with a very intelligent animal, and one that really doesn't want you to find it.
Guess what? You did.
Well, I'm also not really much of a threat to it either.
Why so?
Well, I think what you have up there is an animal that time forgot, one that evolution skipped over. And I give it the same respect as any other animal. I realize that, you know, people are looking for this thing and hunting it and doing all this, and I don't know. To me, I say, let them be. I mean, the only thing that's come out of it, somebody's going to end up eventually shooting one or something like that.
Patrick, when you were out there and observing this thing for 3 hours while it was foraging for food, did you have anybody with you?
No.
You were by yourself?
Yep.
Did you ever feel afraid?
No.
Thinking that, oh, my God, if this thing gets to see me, it may charge me.
As a matter of fact, I would honestly say you probably knew I was there. Something of that intelligence that I've seen in my life, I don't think with his natural abilities, his senses would not be able to realize that I was there.
Did you have a scope on your rifle, or did you have binoculars?
I had both.
So did you get to zoom in on and see what the thing looked like, facial features or anything?
From the distance I was at, facial features, no. I think the closest I'd say would be 600 to 700 yards would be the closest I ever got to them. But never really had any desire to get any closer either. I mean, you are talking about an animal that
quite frankly, if it was pissed off, you would probably be in a bad situation.
Well, that was my whole point. But earlier you said you saw it from 300 yards, and then you said that you weren't afraid, and you thought that the thing knew you were there anyway.
No, three hours I've observed one of the longest. But, you know, I think if I'd been in a face-to-face type situation, I think I'd probably been in a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand that you got a way that you think you can capture one of these things. Why don't you share it with us?
Well, I don't know if I'd really want to capture one. I know the area very well. I know the habitat, the places where we've been able to observe them, or I've been able to. And as far as showing, I would say I would be willing to give it a try for an observation with the right crew.
Okay, I like that. All right, well, listen, I want to thank you very much for sharing your story with us, Patrick, and we're going to be keeping in touch with you real close. And if you happen to get any stories between now and the time we hook up, let us know, would you?
Well, I haven't lived in that area in 7 years now. But, you know, it's always been the same, that area. I don't think much is going to change.
Okay, fair enough. Well, do me a favor. Just, again, thank you. And mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show ahead of us, okay?
Sure.
Thanks, Patrick, for sharing with us. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Patrick from North Dakota. You know, we're going to go out here to a gal. I had her on the phone just the other day. And she kind of got emotional with me. I kind of took a liking to her, too. Because I hear these things so often, and she was referred to me from one of our guys out in the brush. She's from Utah. She's going to talk about her encounter. It happened a long time ago when she was a child, but she's never put closure to it. And it's been really bothering her. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Utah and talk with Patsy. Patsy, you out there?
Yes. Good evening.
Well, good evening to you, darling. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's been a very long day.
Well, I'm sure it has, and I want to thank you for calling me and the other day, and I hope that after you and I had talked, it was some kind of consolation and made you feel a lot better.
Yes, much better indeed. I want to thank you so kindly, and to you and everyone I've talked to back in Alabama. I had a gentleman who called me today from Tennessee to talk with me, and it has just been incredible since I talked with you, Tom, and what's happening and so forth. And as I told you, it was a life-changing event encounter for me.
And it should be, okay? Not just you, but anybody else who sees one of these creatures, because I'll tell you what, after a while, you start to doubt your own being and your thought system. You know, did I actually see this thing? Was it actually, did it run across the road there with one leap? Did it move as fast as it did? Or am I seeing things, you know? It'll
right.
mess your mind for a long time. I know it did me also. But
right.
I'll tell you what, sometimes it's good to talk about it, Patsy. So if you don't mind, would you tell all my listeners around the globe right now about your encounter, when it happened, where it happened, and what you did?
Okay, the encounter happened in August of 1979 in the state of Alabama, and it was a daylight encounter with me and two other youngsters that were with me at the time. We were on foot, and we went to an area of the woods that we used to call the power line area to go out and just look at nature and enjoy, and our attention got focused on a sound that we were hearing. It was kind of a squeaky sound at first, and then it kind of went very, very quiet, and we actually saw where a very large, I believe it was a rattlesnake, had been eating a rodent, and we were giggling and laughing and standing there looking, and then suddenly the breeze that was blowing, a summer mild breeze, shifted directions, and we caught the scent of a odor that was very powerful, that was not so close at first, but it started getting stronger and stronger, and I was facing with my back toward the power line and looking at the two that were standing with me, and they were facing in the direction of my back. Well, they suddenly become like stone-faced, you know, cold. I mean, they just weren't moving, and I could see fear in their eyes. So at the time that I looked over my shoulder across the power line to the edge of the wood line, you could see that there was a very large object in the bushes headed our direction, and it was moving rather carefully, I believe, at first, and then it became more an abrupt movement, you know, very abruptly it began moving through the bushes toward us, and the smell was getting much more, you know, powerful. And we heard this whooping sound. This creature was making this sound. I can't really do it justice. You know, the sound, kind of whoop, whoop, whoop type sounds, but it wasn't a dog or any other thing I'd ever heard before. And I saw what appeared to be a very, like I said, very large creature, and I couldn't see it too well at first. You know, it looked very black because the wooded area was being shadowed somewhat from the trees, where the sun was starting to set lower in the sky. But it looked blackish brown, and I could see that it was very large. At one point, the creature had gotten behind a tree and was peering around the tree toward us. And the two boys that I was with, they broke and run. I mean, they took off running, and I was left standing there. I could not move. It was just like something had grabbed a hold to me, and I just could not move. But I did scream. I said, please don't leave me. And they left me there. And
take your time, honey. Whooping, I know it's difficult, okay?
The whooping sounds got much more intense. And the creature began to move really towards me and got closer. Then I could really see that, how, you know, my first good look at it, it was very large, and it had brownish, reddish, I would describe, you know, hair. It wasn't like fur, like on a bear or something. It looked more like hair. And finally I was able to move. I don't know why, but I just bolted quickly, and I was screaming, you know, don't leave me, you know, guys, come back, come back. And I heard, and I didn't turn around to look behind me at the time, but I heard heavy impact steps, and I heard something very large, you know, I reckon, you know, going across the power line, you know, toward me. I was so afraid this thing was going to actually catch me. At one point, I did manage to turn around and look over my shoulder again, and it had got across the power line to the edge of the wood line, or to the side that we were on, and it was probably 30 yards, maybe 50 from where I was. And this creature was huge, very, very huge, and the scream that it came out of its mouth was so intimidating and so loud. I have never heard anything like it up to that point in my life. It sounded like from a deep moaning growl to a very shriekish scream that I could only say maybe close to if you know, a woman was being murdered or something. It was just horrible. And I was able to see, you know, its eyes. They were deeply set into deep eye sockets. They were almost dark, I would say brown-black, maybe, and they were very wide apart. This creature, I measured up against an NBA player one time here in Utah. It was, this gentleman was 6'10" and 260-some-odd pounds. This creature that I saw had to be a good half foot to a foot taller, and much wider in the shoulders, the upper torso, across the chest. This thing was massively large. And I just kept going. I kept going, Tom. I was just so terrorized. I kept going, and finally I made those two work their way back toward me, and we stopped and looked, and we saw something wrestling with the bushes, you know, 30 yards or so behind us, and it was just making those mad whooping sounds, and the brush was just shaking violently. They were like yearling sweet gum or pine type trees, you know, small, but, you know, very, you know, much taller than the average, you know, grown human, you know. And that was it. We got out of there, and the next day we went back to where those bushes were torn up, and we found that a lot of them were twisted. It was like something had grabbed them. It didn't pull them up out of the ground. It didn't snap them, but twisted them and nearly laid them over on the ground and near the base of the tree, you know, of these large bushes, I should say. It was almost like an S shape, like something had just twisted them with incredible power and laid them to the ground. It's a day that I will never forget, Tom. I saw this creature. Nobody's going to tell me that these creatures don't exist. They do. It's not my mission to go out in life and convince everyone without having hardcore physical evidence that they do, but nobody's ever going to sit and tell me that I saw a bear or some man in some costume. This was real. I smelled it. I seen it. I heard it. And I will never forget it as long as I live, ever.
Patsy, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And you are one hell of a trooper to come on our show to share your story. You are a very courageous woman. And thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Tom, for allowing me to give me this opportunity to share this story.
And you know what?
It's real.
I want you to know that we're here for you no matter what, Patsy. The way you called me on the phone and I answered it, I'll be there again whenever you may need us, okay?
Thank you, Tom.
God bless you, honey, and mute yourself out. There's still a lot more stories that I think you want to hear, okay?
Okay. Peace and joy be with you, Tom.
And my blessings and my team's blessings go to you, darling. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hell of a gal, ladies and gentlemen. Patsy, she had all the courage in the world to come on the show and tell her story. Maybe now she could put some closure to it. I hope she can. If not, we're here for her. Hey, Bill, let's go to a commercial, would you?
Okay, and Marcus didn't make it on, Tom. We'll go to Dr. Joe and Brian.
Okay, well, let's go pay some bills.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmargen, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Oh. www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom, it's back to you.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I get chills when I sit back and I listen to that trailer. That's the movie that started it all for us here with Searching for Bigfoot, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Bigfoot Lives. It's just totally amazing. When I listen to each one of those stories from each one of those people that are in our movie, those are real, ladies and gentlemen. Those aren't reenactments. You're hearing them from their own mouths. The actual story, how it happened, where it happened, when it happened. But everything spurned off of Bigfoot Lives. We've got Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and In the Shadow of Bigfoot. And the reason why I'm telling you this, if you can get most of them on Amazon, and you'll be getting them throughout all the retail outlets across the nation here in the next couple, 3 weeks. But they just started something, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Bigfoot Week. And you can go, if you've got, I believe if you've got Comcast, Cox, and Time Warner, you can push your on-demand button, and all four of those movies, all four of them, Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and Bigfoot in the Shadow of Bigfoot, you can download them on your TV and watch it in the comfort of your home. That's right, for $3.99. So call your neighbors, call your relatives, call your friends, and download it. It's just like Shark Week. We've got our own Bigfoot Week now. Got all four of them up. If you've got cable, you go on demand, you can see these movies. Of course, the new one's not up yet. That's the one you got to go to our searchingforbigfoot.com, and you get it there. Be the first one on your block to get it, too, because I'll tell you what. There's some great stories in there that have not been told in detail that you'll see it now. Just like the Beast of Bray Road, the DuPont Monster, the Holy Hill Creature. All of those are in there. And these are all stories that went nationwide on the news. And who do you know was there? Tom Biscardi and SFBI team. We were there first on the scene. Some stories, some of these people wouldn't even talk to anyone. But they're there. So it's there for you. Get them while you can. Searchingforbigfoot.com, ladies and gentlemen. Bigfoot Lives 3 is up for sale now. Be the first on your block to get it, number one. Number two, if you have a cable company, go on demand. They've got a Bigfoot Week going on for the next 30 days, 60 days, whatever. You'll get to see all four of the movies. Hope to see that you get a chance. And if you do, drop me a line. Tell me what you think. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to my good friend Dr. Joe and Brian out there in PA. He's going to tell us his story, his experiences, and the picture of the hand. He sent it out for examination, and let's see what happened. Dr. Joe, you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Do we have Brian with you also?
Yeah, I'm here.
Brian, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm crazy as a bitsy bug in May right now, son. I'm feeling good. So tell me what's going on out there. Tell me about the hand.
Well, boy, sure got a great handprint. You know, I looked on the internet, and there's one other good handprint, and the similarities. I noticed that the three fingers and the thumb are very prominent on the other picture, and just a tad bit of the index finger, which is the same as mine. It's, you know, it's got to be 10 to 12 inches wide. It's muddy. There's absolutely no mud in the area. It's all mulch. I was just sitting there one day looking outside, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, it's just beyond obvious. You can almost see the fingernail in the one, I think it's the middle finger, running down. Just totally amazing to me.
Wow. So how'd you come up on this thing?
Well, I was just sitting there, and I looked outside, and I'm like, oh, come on now. I mean, it's just sitting there right in front of me. We've got a tree break right in the front of the entrance to where I work also. It's about the size of a telephone pole, and the tree's leaning down toward the driveway, but it's broken uphill, and it's twisted. everybody that drives by it that believes is like, all right, now who can explain that? I mean, it's almost like they're taunting us, like we're here, you know, hello. It just, you know, absolutely incredible.
Now, how many times have you actually seen this creature?
6 times.
All the same one or different ones?
4 times the same one and 2 times different.
What colors were they?
Reddish brown. And the other two that I saw, hard to tell. Like I had said previously, they seem black with a naked eye, but when you magnify them, they get very blurry.
Were they all the same male, female? What was the gender?
Well, that's a tough answer there. I guess you always think male because they're so large.
Okay, but could you discern anything different?
No, I couldn't.
Okay, all right. Well, that's an honest answer, and that's all we're looking for is honest things as you're portraying. I appreciate that. So what are you going to do now with this handprint? Tell me.
Well, it's there. You know, I don't think anybody's going to touch it or anything.
Have you made a plaster Paris cast?
What's that?
Have you made a plaster of Paris cast of it?
No, it's on a pillar, a painted steel pillar.
I don't get
it. So I don't know. You know, you can only really take a picture of it.
It's just posted on www.bigfootlive.com.
Oh, really?
Right underneath.
It's there now, Bill?
Yeah, it's there now. It's
okay,
it's
so let me ask
right
you
there.
This. If it's yeah. on there, what happens if you had some fingerprint dust put on there and put the tape off of it? Could you get a fingerprint off it, you think?
I would imagine. I mean, you know, I don't know how long it's been there. I was just sitting there one day at, just doing paperwork, and I looked outside, and I'm like, all right, you got to be kidding me. And the girl said, oh, that was just a broom, or somebody was dusting off a broom. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, there's 3 or 4 distinct, you know, handprints there. You know, to me, it's the best one online I've ever seen.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going up there to look at it myself. Where do we look at this now, Bill?
www.bigfootlive.com, where the last entry in the tonight's show has got a link to the picture.
Okay.
Click on it, and it'll take you right to it.
One thing also, guys, the lady that called earlier that said that, you know, the brain just doesn't perceive what it sees, my patient Brian is about to come on. He's had tremendous experiences lately, and he doesn't believe he's a skeptic. So I'd ask him, you know, what was that? And it was so funny how he doesn't believe, but the experiences that he's had, his brain just can't process the information, and he stutters, and he's trying to find an answer not to believe what he saw, but it's so evident that it's funny. I mean, he stutters. So, wait, do you hear what he is today?
Well, let's put him on right now real quick, okay?
Great.
Brian, tell us the story.
Okay. Well, my story isn't as great as other people's stories because everybody's an eyewitness, but mine's more of like suspicious activity. This is probably like about 2 months ago. I have a landscaping company, plus I have a tanning salon, so I'm real busy. And I was driving home one night, and an employee of mine called me home, and he was real frantic. He had witnessed something on the side of the road, and he told me, he said he thought it was a Bigfoot, and I told him that actually just go back to the bar, crazy, you know. So I arrived home like about 8:15 at night or so, and I went into my house and ordered a pizza, and then I waited a little while, and I was walking out to my truck, and I had a stick thrown at me with such tremendous force that if it would have hit me, it would have probably knocked me out. Probably was maybe about 3 to 4 inches from my ear, because yeah, I just heard the whipping noise. split on the ground. My truck was probably like 20 feet from me. Split on the ground and hit the back of my tire and made it popping. That's the hardest thrown at me. So, obviously, I turned around and, you know, nothing was there. And I happened to look back, and my neighbor is probably like 100 yards away from me. We're in separated lots, about an acre and a third lot. And he's all well lit up. Then I noticed that one of my buddies was back there. He has a plumbing company. And so I figured he was playing a trick on me. So I immediately attacked him, and he said that he threw it. He threw a stick at me. So I just disregarded it as he did that. So the next day, I talked to him regularly, and I said, yeah, that was real funny. Jimmy played on me last night, and he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you threw the stick at me. He said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I said, remember when you said you threw the stick at me? And he said, Brian, I was only kidding. He said, how could I have thrown a stick at you when you were in the house, when I was in the house? And I'm like, well, what are you telling me? You didn't throw it at me? He said, no. So then I'm like, well, okay, well, who in the heck did this? Who could have possibly threw the stick at me? And why would somebody throw a stick at me like that? Because it would have knocked me out. So I waited till the next day, and I picked up a stick. I put it on the boulder. I have a pond right at the end of my driveway. So I put the stick on there. Then the next day, I went out into the backyard, and I found tracks all over the yard. Suspicious tracks. I went over and I looked at the stick, and there was hair on the stick, at the end of the stick, wedged in, like at the end of the stick. I touched the hair, and I couldn't get the oil off my fingers for 2 seconds. So I looked at everything that, you know, I seen out in the backyard, go to the car and go.
Brian, let me stop you just for a second, if I may. I didn't know that we're running over time now. We're going into somebody else's hour. Your story is incredible, and I'm sitting here listening to myself. How come I didn't know about this? But guess what? You're going to be our first guest next week, and we're going to allow the time that you need. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great. I'm sorry I took so long.
No. I wish we had you on earlier. I didn't know that you had this fantastic story. And thank you so much, Dr. Joe. It's good talking to you again. And
you too, guys.
Well, yeah, we'll have Brian back on next week.
Okay.
Make sure you get a hold of him, would you, Marco?
Sure will.
Okay, thanks again. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. And there's a good old Miss Calabash out there. How you doing, darling? Bye-bye.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.